Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District. I guess I want to ask you this question. We're now faced, once again, everybody is sort of getting used to the idea we're going to go through it again. The Democrats in the minority, the Republicans in the majority, and there'll be a standoff over the budget and gridlock in Congress. What do you make of all of this?
Well, you know, we just had another jobs report out of the Department of Labor a few days ago that showed that, you know, the unemployment rate is now 5.1%. You know, people are still out there healing and recovering, you know, in terms of the Great Recession. But there's no question we're on the right path right now in terms of economic growth. And the worst thing, in my opinion, that could happen is to have this country go through another shutdown, self-inflicted wound that really would hinder the progress that we were making. I mean, we know back in 2013 when the last shutdown happened, 17 days long, 17 painful days long, that the U.S. economy lost billions of dollars. It totally disrupted a whole range of critical programs and services, whether, you know, it's our military infrastructure, you know, homeland security, education programs. I mean, you just go down the list. And you know, I think people are comfortable with the fact that there's, you know, Washington's a place where people should go down and fight and debate and, you know, make their case for issues like Planned Parenthood and others, but that you should not use the lever of shutting down the government to make your case. But, you know, here we are, again, days away from the end of the fiscal year, and we have a letter signed by 28 House Republicans who have said that they under no circumstances will support any measure, any spending measure after October 1, which includes a penny for Planned Parenthood. And, you know, that's what I think drives people crazy about Washington. It's just that, you know, people are they're holding hostage, you know, critical programs and services for our national defense and homeland security as a tool to advance their agenda. And that, in my opinion, just falls totally outside the boundary lines of you know, appropriate debate and constitutional government.
So what's the outcome?
So I think that, you know, if I had to sort of put my, you know, pundit cap on, I think the Senate Republican leadership is going to be more of the grown-up here in terms of, you know, compared to the House Republican leadership as far as trying to advance some type of spending measure that at the end of the day will require Democratic votes in the House to actually make it to the president's desk. I don't know exactly what it looks like, you know, whether it's a CR, you know, which is just that sort of automatic autopilot for budgets, which is not a
continuing resolution, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. And or whether or not, you know, we ought to do what we did 2 years ago after the last shutdown, which was get, you know, a bipartisan negotiating process. Patty Murray and Paul Ryan sat down and hammered out a 2-year deal. And that's why, frankly, we've had, you know, I think improvement in terms of, you know, a whole host of areas, but particularly in terms of the economy. And that's what should happen. You know, whether or not, you know, McConnell can, you know, craft a process to allow that to move forward remains to be seen. But really, you cannot rely on the House Republican caucus to come up with a viable plan because he cannot find 218 votes that
Boehner,
that really would allow a budget that the president would even come close to signing.
Hmm. Okay, enough of that now.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to something really simple, like the coming presidential elections. Hillary Clinton is now behind in New Hampshire, significantly behind Bernie Sanders, like 9 points right now. Long way to go, of course, but still down. In Iowa, the same sort of trajectory is happening. We know that in these primaries, people on the left of the Democrats tend to vote in primaries to the right of the Republicans, and a very small proportion of potential voters do. So is this real trouble for Hillary?
It's definitely a problem for Hillary, and I think that, you know, you know, there are forces out there in terms of, you know, different segments of cable news and online media that, you know, have just been relentless in terms of pounding this issue of the email. Having said that, I mean, I do think that, you know, if you watch her statements just in the last couple of weeks or so, I mean, they really have kind of changed course in terms of conceding that, you know, this was probably not the best arrangement in the world, and that, you know, she's obviously, I think, standing on her head, you know, to demonstrate that they're trying to be cooperative with any audits and investigations and whatnot. I still think, at the end of the day, that, you know, we're still it's in spring training in terms of this campaign, that it's really still not, you know, a point where people are truly honest to God making decisions about how they're going to vote. And having said that, I mean, you know, now that the summer's over and, you know, Washington's back in town, you know, these primaries and caucuses keep sort of getting moved up earlier and earlier, that, you know, they've got to really get their legs under themselves, the Clinton campaign, in terms of trying to stabilize the situation. Mm. I do think, you know, if you look at the primary and caucus schedule after New Hampshire, you know, that definitely is much more to her advantage. I mean, you've been around. You've seen how momentum can really take over. You know,
it did with Obama. Yeah.
Yes. No question about it. And I don't think Bernie, you know, Sanders is Barack Obama in terms of, you know, the special historic, you know, strength of his candidacy. But
no, you make a very strong point there. You know,
yep.
I know Bernie very well. I've had him on this show many times.
Yeah.
You know, there's no question where he stands. There was lots of questions where Barack Obama stood. In fact,
yep.
I believe he won because a lot of people projected into him their own values. So
no,
you make a good point.
So, you know, and on the Republican side, I am.
Who's the most dangerous of them? It's Kasich, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. No, in terms of, you know, somebody who has crossover appeal, you know, in terms of a lot of constituencies that they've struggled with, you know, he has definitely shown, I think, you know, the most adroit, skillful presentation. But, again, whether that party is capable of you know, nominating someone like that is something that I am pretty skeptical of, to be honest with you.
Mm. What about the T word?
Oh, Donald, the Donald.
Yeah. Or the D word.
Yeah.
Or the TD word, yeah.
So I actually, you know, think that actually that is the crux of the problem in terms of the Republican Party, is that, you know, the strength that he has shown really shows that there's a strain, and a large strain, within that party that, you know, he has really, you know, touched a raw nerve for that is really going to be hard for them to sort of recapture, you know, with sort of a more, I think, mainstream presentable candidate. And, you know, people keep saying he defies the laws of gravity in terms of some of the, you know, faux pas that he's made, and it doesn't seem to slow him down at all. I mean, I think it's because he really, you know, let's face it, he came to the national spotlight big time when he, you know, got involved in the birther nonsense. I call it nonsense, but I think there's a segment of the Republican base that actually still really, you know, responds to that kind of talk and that kind of claim. And you know, and his comments on immigration sort of is part of that same mindset. And it's not something that a Kasich or, you know, Bush or Rubio is going to really be able to corral, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always great to talk to our pal and Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's 2nd District, in office since 2007. And Joe, we always love talking to you. When we come back the next time, we'll find something else to talk about, okay?
Okay, Alan.